Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It is the Chris and Amy show on KMOX, and it is time to go to the guest line today. And we are visiting with Congresswoman out of the 13th District in the state of Illinois. Nikki Budzinski is with us now on KMOX. Congresswoman, it is great to have you with us this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Chris.
So this is an important issue, and we spend a lot of time, or we have spent a lot of time in St. Louis talking about the nuclear waste that's in the, you know, northern western part of the city, you know, the landfill and all of that. But I think it often gets overlooked what was happening on the east side of the river. And for me personally, this does hit home because that Dow Chemical plant is where my dad worked for several years, and he ended up getting sick. So I know that there is a new push that for people in Venice and Granite City and Madison, they could see some relief. What exactly is it that you're looking for?
Yeah, well, we're working actually with Senator Hawley, who I know is focused on exactly the neighborhoods you were talking about in Missouri. On the other side of the river, I'm working with Senator Durbin specifically to get compensation to the communities of Venice, Madison, Granite City that were, they consider themselves, or they're referred to as downwind communities, but they are communities that were directly impacted by Dow Chemical dumping radioactive waste materials between the years of 1960 to 1973 that obviously impacted the workers that were working directly with these materials, like your father. But also the communities. What I found out when I just recently visited Venice with the mayor and some citizen activists that have been really leading the charge here, there was an elementary school just blocks away from this Dow Chemical plant. And what has been able to be traced are hundreds of cases of cancer that were developed not just from the workers that were exposed by working within the facility and bringing their exposure to those radioactive materials into their home, but to the community that was surrounding the plant. And so what I'm working on is the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, often referred to as RECA, getting that reauthorized to include the zip code of 62060. Those are the communities that are covered, Venice, Madison, and Granite City, under that zip code that we believe are downwind that were directly impacted by this exposure.
So I know there was some sort of, and it must have been 30 plus years ago, there was some sort of class action lawsuit. And I think it was people who worked at the plant, if I remember correctly, who were compensated for it. But the people, the people who lived in the vicinity of it, they were not compensated, correct?
Correct. And so we're fighting for that in particular. That's why we're trying to fight for the inclusion of, for the exposure of the downwinder communities, that maybe these are people that didn't work directly in the plant, but they were certainly exposed to the radiation or radioactive material. And so we believe they deserve compensation. I also want to say you're correct that the workers, some of the workers were compensated, but that too is, you know, something we're taking a look at because, you know, you had to test positives for some very specific cancers in order to be eligible for that compensation. And obviously we're finding out as years have passed that, you know, those types of cancers should probably really be expanded to make sure we're covering all the workers and all the exposure that they had for working in those plants. But what my bill is, though, Chris, is really focused on including the downwinder communities exposure.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you about that, too, because I know that that particular suit covered, you know, all the people who worked there up until a certain date. And I know it was in the 90s, but I'm not exactly sure what the cutoff was. But there were people who worked in the building after the fact when Dow was not the company there. It was a place called Spectralite that it's been something else. Are those people, If they've developed anything, is that something that will, that when you're talking about exploring that in the future, is that mm-hmm. what you mean?
Yeah, that is what I mean. So it was in 1990 when what they, the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act first passed. And that was designed to provide restitution to individuals who worked in the radioactive facilities during the Manhattan Project era. And so it has a specific kind of guardrails focus to it. We just want to make sure that all workers that were negatively impacted by this exposure are included in that compensation. So we're working with folks on the ground to take a look at that. That's a part of this. But the legislation that I'm really kind of also trying to focus on that hasn't received as much attention until recently are these downwinder communities and getting the communities also compensated.
Do you know what kind of timeline you're looking at with this bill mm-hmm. and compensation?
Yeah, so we worked, as I said, very closely with Senator Hawley, who was leading the charge in the Senate on this, and Senator Durbin. We had hope that we were going to be able to include this in the National Defense Authorization Act. Unfortunately, Speaker Mike Johnson removed it from that bill. We were really optimistic that we were going to get the 62060 zip code included in that. So what we're going to be doing is just, marching ahead. I'm not giving up this fight. I think we have a lot of different moving vehicles in this next Congress. One obviously coming up is our government funding, which expires on March 14th. There will be a reconciliation bill. I think that's one opportunity for us to get RECA included in that bill. But, you know, also the NDAA will come up again. So there are a number of legislative moving vehicles that we're going to be working closely with our Senate leads and House leads on this. But one of the things I'm encouraged by, Amy, is the fact that this is a bicameral issue. Both House and Senate are taking this up, Democrats and Republicans. And, you know, one of the things we talked about in Venice when I was there just a couple days ago are the issues around exposure to radioactive waste don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, if you're rich or you're poor, if you're black or you're white, it's going to impact you and your communities. And I think that's what's bringing all of us together to commit to getting this done.
Yeah, you mentioned working with Josh Hawley. It has bipartisan support. Why would Mike Johnson want to remove this from that bill?
Well, what he stated at the time was cost, and there is a price tag to this. But what I would counter that with is, you know, how do you put a price tag on? I met with Larry Bergen, who is one of the citizen activists who's really been leading this charge in the Venice community, who worked in the Dow chemical plant, like Chris's father, and carries with him the burden of bringing home that exposure to his home. He has family that was then indirectly exposed and has seen health effects to that. How do you put a price tag on that? And I think that these communities have long deserved justice on this issue, and we need to continue this fight to get it done.
So do you seem to have confidence that something will happen here. Am I reading that right? That there will be some sort of compensation down the road?
Yeah, we have a commitment, I think, from Democratic and Republican legislators that this is a priority and we're going to keep focused on it to get it accomplished. As I know you both know, Washington, D.C. can sometimes not be the most functional place. But what I would say is, as we stay focused on this as a top priority of mine, a top priority of many other legislators, there are a number of different legislative opportunities for us to tag RECA into their bills. We're going to work to find those opportunities and get it done.
When you are working on a bill like this that does have bipartisan support, you mentioned Washington is dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. Does it help build relationships across the aisle when you guys can work together?
Oh, absolutely. And I have to say, you know, the district I represent in Congress is so desperately interested in that. Like, they want me to go to Washington to find common ground with Republicans, Democrats, independents. They don't care about your party affiliation if you're going to do something that benefits our communities. And this example of RECA and getting this passed will directly benefit the communities I represent in Madison, Venice, and Granite City. And while, you know, Senator Hawley and I will not agree on a number of issues, we can agree here. And so I think that's important, and we should try to work together to get this done.
As I mentioned, you know, my dad worked at this place. I grew up in Granite City, so what happens to that town matters a lot to me. I still have family who live there. Last week on the show, Mayor Mike Parkinson was on talking about the U.S. Steel merger with the Japanese company Nippon. Where do you stand on that right now, and what do you think happens next?
Yeah, I care a lot about Granite City, too, for that same reason, Chris. I've been very focused on how do we bring continued investment into Granite City Works to keep those blast furnaces running. As you know, there were three. Now we're down to two that are really kind of operational. And so what I had been pressing on during all of the talks around upon purchasing U.S. Steel is I wanted to see a commitment of investment in Granite City Works. And that would then lead to me being able to support the deal. We came up shy of being able to see that. And so you saw a lot of opposition, including my own, across the country to the deal because I just didn't see the investment in Granite City Works. We have some of the best workers in the country. They're highly skilled. We're producing unique components and parts, and steel production is happening in Granite City. There is no reason why a company like U.S. Steel or Nippon wouldn't want to see continued investment. And so short of that, I wasn't able to support this deal. But I think what is unknown now is what happens with U.S. Steel. Just yesterday, I saw that U.S. Steel, their stock is up because of the potential for other potential buyers or bidders to purchase the company. We'll see kind of how all that shakes out. And we'll also see how the incoming Trump administration, who also said, like President Biden, incoming President Trump has said he opposed the deal, the merger as well. So we'll see what happens. You know, there are a number of other things. There's a Suncoat potential sale also on the table that I understand is still alive, but until things get more sorted out, bigger picture for Granite City Works, that kind of deal is just in a holding pattern. So I'm following this really closely too. It's very important for the community of Granite City, and I'm going to keep fighting to make sure we see continued investment.
Yeah, Parkinson mentioned that he just hadn't seen in writing that commitment you're talking about. Is it that they don't have the commitment, or they're just not being explicit with what they want to do?
Well, I'll tell you what's been frustrating is there have been a number of really large federal grants that the Biden administration could have made available to kind of make these investments in their plant. One of the arguments that U.S. Steel is making is that they want to move to an electric arc furnace and producing pig iron and reducing their carbon footprint. And that's the argument as to why they want to move their facility down to Big River in Arkansas. I think that those kind of investments to, you know, potentially build an electric arc furnace or make continued investments to decarbonize the plant could have been done through Inflation Reduction Act dollars through the Department of Energy. And we outlined a whole list of those dollars that could have been made available. We would have advocated within the administration that U.S. Steel get those funds to make investment in Granite City. And they just had absolutely no interest. And so there were opportunities. I don't know with this new incoming administration if those opportunities are going to still be on the table or not. But, you know, I agree with you and I agree with Mayor Parkinson. We just never saw the details of what they were or were not able to invest in.
Well, President-elect Trump visited Granite City Steel when he was still president. So hopefully he has a commitment to them. Nikki Budzinski, Congresswoman from Illinois, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Have a great day.
That is the Congresswoman from the part of Illinois where I am from, Madison, Venice. I grew up in Granite City, and we appreciate her time today. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.